So the rain last night was something, huh? I was standing at a restaurant looking out this window at a giant wall of water falling from the sky. I mean, you could tell it was extraordinary. I just didn't know how extraordinary until my phone went off and then every other phone in the restaurant all started doing the little dee 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 noise at the same time, and the world seemed as if it was ending for a second when we all looked down and realized there was a flash flood warning, which was pertinent. I was down towards the edge of Sunnyside, right where 38th approaches to I-25, and suddenly the cop cars pulled up and blocked off the road because it was underwater. I mean, it wasn't the only place either. You know the rain came hard when they had a water rescue on Colfax right in front of Casa Bonita. Everybody's okay, but seriously, they brought in the water rescue team to Colfax in front of Casa Bonita. As we continue in our season of creation this summer, a sermon series focused on the environment, and this year attuned to water, this came as a timely reminder of the power of water. Now, our sermon series this summer is entitled, Water is Life, which reminds us that water is like life in the way that water is unpredictable. Water is powerful, and water can leave an impact. We certainly see this in big waters, right? The ones that rise and knock things over and block our way. But we can also see water's power in the small ways. For example, when you hike in the mountains, some of the most beautiful valleys you encounter were created by the smallest of streams. And some of the most gorgeous mountain meadows were carried into being from the deposits of a small creek blocked up by a beaver dam. Water is powerful. Not just because of the force it can carry in large quantities, but because of the impact even the smallest amounts can have due to its persistence. It's a powerful thing because it participates in every aspect of creation. It creates, it sustains, it transforms. Water even has the power to destroy. And for all the grandness of the oceans and the power we might see and how wide and far it is, you would not be alive if not for the water in each and every of the tiniest cells in your being. Water is life. Across the world, there are communities of people who find their identity with their sources of water, whether it's where they gather the water that helps them know they're a part of a certain community, or for the body of water they live by, that helps them understand who and where they are in the world, or perhaps even the body of water they live on. Down in Peru on Lake Titicaca, actually right on the border, the Uru people live on human-made islands. They've gathered together reeds, woven them together, and they are always in the process of adding new layers as others biodegrade and disappear away. And their homes are on these islands, and they float across the lake, taking anchor wherever they please. They're still in existence because when explorers and conquerors came, they just cut the ropes, floated out to the middle, and said, "You can't bother us." Water is life. When pipeline construction threatened the waters of the indigenous people near Standing Rock, North Dakota, many of us encountered this phrase, "water is life," for the very first time. We also were introduced to the phrase, "water protector." As native people from around the country and across the continent gathered to protect the land, the culture, and the identity of these people. There was one water protector who had traveled to North Dakota from New Mexico, where he was a part of the Jicarilla Apache Reservation, who reflected on his experience there, and he said this, "We are made up of water. We're born in water. We come from water. Water is an essence of our being. A lot of people don't see it, but we're connected to that water. We are water. That's why a lot of us are here at Standing Rock. That's what water means to us. It means life. It means unity. It means one people. It means all things because we are all connected because of the water." Such brilliant and poignant words. Water is life. And life is being threatened as water is threatened around the world. Our very biology, people's identity, entire cultures, and our history, all at risk because water is at risk. The United Nations has established water as a human right, And yet, people across the world and even in the United States do not have adequate access to clean water. 1 in 9 people on our planet, some 844 million people and climbing, lack access to safe water. In fact, diarrhea is one of the world's leading forms of death, affecting 2.5 million people. 88% of those deaths due to poor water quality. And this isn't solely an international issue. Here in the United States, the most recent statistics I could find were a report from 2014. 1.6 million people in the United States reported they lacked access to one of the following: a toilet, a tub or shower, or running water. 1.6 million Americans without access to such things. And of course, disproportionately through lower income and communities of color, the infrastructure that delivers water is often unsafe. And because of previous failures, even if it is safe, there is such distrust that people are forced to still buy water because they cannot know for sure. There's incredible privilege in the reality that most of us have never had to ask the question in our homes or schools or offices, is this water safe? We don't begin our drinking with that on a regular basis. Or perhaps you have had to ask that question, but it was asked as you entered a space that was new to you. I mean, others had had the same options, but you had the luxury of asking and then using resources to renovate and create new space. I take a few moments to highlight these realities and these statistics to center us on the needs that exist. Needs we, as human beings and people of faith, have a responsibility to tend to. For all the legal battles and international decrees that name water as a human right, today I invite us to hear a different call to this work. I invite us to hear a moral and spiritual call rooted in our scriptures and in our faith. For we have a spiritual responsibility to be good stewards of Earth's water, to be caretakers and protectors. From the earliest moments and memories of our Abrahamic faith, the oldest stories we have in Genesis remind us that God's first instruction was that we would tend to and care for what was created, the water and the beings dependent upon it. I was reminded of this as I was spending some time looking through United Methodist resources. One part of the United Methodist life that has been lost amidst our institutional failings is the majority of our social principles are beautiful, powerful instructions. They're the standards we ask one another to live by and the way in which we ask one another to engage the world. I want you to hear these words from the United Methodist social principles. We affirm the natural world as God's handiwork and dedicate ourselves to its preservation, enhancement, and faithful use by all humankind. Preservation, enhancement, and faithful use by all humankind. Those are principles that honor water as life, and they are our charge to care for the waters of God's creation. They are the principles that help us honor the admonition of Jesus when he said, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Jesus was speaking in this chapter of Matthew about what he called the least of these, the overlooked, the forgotten, and how when we tend to those moments, we are tending to something greater. When we take steps to ensure access to clean water for others, we are doing it for them as individuals, as well as for the divine part of them that is mirrored in our own soul, the divine part of them that is mirroring the heart of God. On the cover of your bulletin, you will find some reminders of the simple and common sense changes you can make in life to make water more prevalent for all people. So often we spend Sunday saying, take the bulletin home, there's good information on the back. Well, this morning I invite you to take the bulletin home because there's good information on the front. Take a look at these things and be reminded. We have great impact in our daily living and we don't even notice. I mean, we have this ability to just, because it seems like there's unlimited quantities of clean water for us, we can just let the other needs seem invisible. But that's not who we are called to be. I want to set this in context for you. One U.S. toilet flush uses as much water as an average person in a developing country uses in an entire day for drinking, cooking, washing, and cleaning combined. Their entire allotment for a day in one handle flush for us. That's how much we don't realize the role of water in our lives. So I want you to hear this. We hear it in many places in many ways, but I've adapted it for us today. We do not need one person to conserve water perfectly. We need everyone to do the best they can. That's our invitation. We must all be proactive in the choices in our lives. Also, not just for ourselves, but we must be proactive in choosing those who create the policy about water. Elections matter. One of our United Methodist resolutions reminds us, the progress or lack of progress towards just and affordable distribution of clean water for all starts with a principled acknowledgement of water as a human right. This right to water needs to be coupled with strong political accountability that adequately monitors the just implementation of this right to water. This requires political will from communities and governments. When you vote, do you know how the candidates think and act about water? Or for those who are already elected, have you ever picked up the phone or sent an email reminding them that water matters? Contacting decision makers makes a difference, especially when we become aware of failures in our system that affect those most on the margins. People shouldn't have to only be advocating for themselves. We should all be listening and looking for ways to walk alongside those who seek a basic human right. This is how we can be stewards of life for all people together, because water is life and water is powerful. Water is so powerful. The prophet Amos called on God's people to care for one another. The prophet Amos called on God's people to build communities and build systems that were worthy of all of God's people. And so the prophet Amos sat down to try to figure out, how can I convey the power and gravity of all that God invites us to? The grand scale of this call to justice. And when the prophet Amos thought of God's justice and righteousness, when Amos tried to convey the immense power and presence of God's justice and righteousness in this world, he did so with the most powerful imagery he could imagine. And he wrote these words: "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This is our call. To be stewards of water, that the power of water might be seen in the power of justice and the power of righteousness in a way that transforms and changes everything in the big ways and the little ways and everything in between. For water is life, and we are called to care for it. Amen.